Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this morning's service. I'm standing outside right now, and it's cold. It's still chilly, even though we're in the middle of April. But here, as you see, this is our property, eh? And I'm just going to go out here. It's windy, so you're going to hear a lot of wind. But you look at our property, right? Parking lots are empty. Buildings are empty. And this, we have called this place home for the past 17 years. And this has been our home, and yet with one announcement from our premier, and for a good reason, the doors are shut. It's locked up, and we can't meet here any longer for right now, for the time being, and we don't know when we're going to be able to reopen. But the church has continued, just in a different form, and that's the point. It's how we gather, and this gathering in buildings has been a different format for the number of centuries now. We've had our own buildings that we've met in, and this is what has drawn us. But that's taken away, but the church continues. And how do I know that? Because it's continuing. Anyway, I'm going to continue my teaching inside where it's a little warmer. I'll see you in there. Okay, well, it's good to be back in here because it's a little warmer. There's a phrase that Jesus mentions in one of his Gospels, in one of the Gospels that is told about him. And he tells his followers that he has come to give life and give it to the full. And yet he also says, it's recorded in other Gospels, that he says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. That's found in Matthew, by the way. It's this whole thing of death and resurrection. And you hear him talking about these two things, both in just in straight up talk about his own death and his own resurrection, but also throughout his parables and just some of his language he uses. And John records a similar phrase in his gospel. And this is found in John 12. And this is what's recorded. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. And I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." Now listen to what he says here. "Those who love their life in this world will lose it. And those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me." Again, you see that whole play of death and resurrection. So this morning, I have a question for you. In this pandemic, what does your hope really look like for you? Or I guess another way to phrase that question would be, where are you finding that you're placing your hope during this time? Because I ask you this, is hope everything going back to the way it was, back to normal? When you hear people say that we're not going back to the way it was or the way it used to be, what emotions rise up in you? Do you have some fear? Is there anger? Maybe dread? Maybe there's mourning for some people. Mourning if we actually have lost the way it used to be, if we're not going to return back to how it was. I would like to suggest to you that if that's the case, then that's probably not hope, or at least it's not the hope that Jesus talks about, and it's not the hope that the different writers throughout Scripture talk about. Because they talk about a totally different type of hope. Because the hope you hear people talking about, you know, we could almost call that ordinary hope. And it's that type of hope that hinges on external outcomes or circumstances in life, you know, how things go. It's like a barometer. Either it's high pressure or low pressure, you know, it's up and down. And the problem with that is when the external circumstances go south, so goes our hope. I know I find that in my own life. However, there is a hope that Jesus talked about that flows from God to us. And it's almost this quiet, calm stillness that's deep within a person, that resides deep within. And it's placed there by the Spirit of God. And it's actually unmoved by the external circumstances or situations that are going on around us. It's, as someone once said, it's an ironic counterpoint to life, which I think is a very apt description for that. That hope that is placed deep within us is what, there's an author called Ilio Delio, and she says that hope that is deep within us is actually the presence of God. She goes on to say it's not a future good outcome, but it's the immediate experience of being met, held in communion. It's by something that is intimately at hand. And that something is none other than Jesus Christ. That's who that something is. Ilio goes on to say, she says this, she says, we ourselves are not the source of that hope. Remember that. I'm not the source of my hope. She says, we do not manufacture it. It's not something I can, you know, talk myself into. But she says, the source dwells in Christ and flows to us with an unstinting abundance. So much so that, in fact, it might be more accurate to say, we dwell within it. And that's the beauty of a relationship with Jesus Christ, is that it's not us trying to pursue hope in this world. It's actually us dwelling within it because Christ is in us. This life says, my hope is when the economy is, you know, booming, is when it comes back up and everything's going roaring and doing wonderful. Not only is it the way it used to be, it's way better than that. That's what this life tries to tell me right now. And this life says my hope is based on how life goes. And that's really not great. That's not something to really anchor into. Because when life is up, my hope is up. When life is down, my hope is down. My whole countenance goes down. And that is actually not hope at all, guys. Not hope at all. So when I can let go of searching for hope in this life and reach forward, you know, for that, to take hold of the life that Jesus offers me. Because he gives a hope that it doesn't vacillate all over the place. His hope is steady. Jesus is steady. Jesus is constant. He's the guy who's asleep in the bottom of the boat when everybody else is panicking. That's who Jesus is. That is our hope. And it's when times are good and when times are not so good. Jesus becomes our constant. Now, I have to admit that there are times when I want it both ways. And what do I mean by that? What I end up doing is placing my hope, yes, my hope is in Jesus, but I also find at times I also place my hope in this life. So my hope is in Jesus, but I do want things to come back to normal. I do want the economy to come back up and boom and everything to be just fine, just rosy, right? And how do I know that? Well, all I have to do is read some of the doom and gloom news reports that I come across on a daily basis that I'm trying to stay away from, and I am. And I can feel myself begin to sink. It's like something comes over me. It's almost like a heavy cloud, like a weight that comes over me that I can just feel it. And I tell God that God needs to turn things around for me. We do that, you know, turn things around for us, God, right? And then we'll be happy. Then we'll be content. But when I do that, I feel myself emotionally go down, because I know where I've placed my hope. It's in circumstances and situations that I can't control. I can't control those. I can't control what tomorrow's going to be. Jesus tells an interesting parable in Luke 5, which really speaks to what it is sometimes we grasp for, having things both. We want both, and we want We want the resurrection, but we don't want to die, right? Jesus tells this parable. This is in Luke 5, starting in verse 36. It says, "Then Jesus gave them this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined, and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say." And boy, when I read that, does that ever speak to me? I sort of want to, you know, take the new patch, take the new garment, want to take the resurrected life, and I want to put that over the garment of the old life, don't I? I want the new wine, but I want to pour it in the old wineskin. And Jesus is trying to say, you can't do that. You have to let go of the one, reach forward to the other, is what we have to do. So Jesus offers us this new wine, real life. But in order to reach forward and take hold of it, it requires that I got to let go of my way of thinking. My way of thinking how life should be. My way of you know, those things that I put my hope in, or those people I put my hope in to make my life better for me. I need to reach forward. Jesus offers me to reach forward to that new life and follow him. Now, perhaps you prayed that prayer that Christine invited us to pray today. And now the only thing left to do is to follow. You follow Jesus. He will lead you on a journey into a new life. But in order to follow, you have to let go of this old life. I really strongly believe that when we read in the Gospels about how when he called the disciples, particularly, you know, Peter and Andrew and James and John, who were fishermen with their fathers, and records in the Gospels that when Jesus called them to come follow me, they left what was there and they followed Jesus. They walked away. Same with Matthew. He was sitting at the tax collector's booth. He was a tax collector. And Jesus said, "Matthew, come follow me." And Matthew got up and left that and went and followed Jesus. And I believe that's what Jesus calls us to do in this life, to leave this way of thinking how the world sees things and to turn and follow him, because he is the hope. Our hope isn't in, you know, the government leaders, the world leaders to get things right. Our hope isn't in the scientists even. Our hope is in Christ alone. He is our hope. And so if you have prayed that prayer to become a follower of Jesus, you just follow. You follow. You join with us, join with another, with other believers, other followers who are following, and together we follow Jesus. I don't have all the answers, but Jesus is our hope. Jesus is what we cling on to in these days. So I want to pray. And as I pray, I'm going to also include a verse from Paul's letter to the Romans. It's found in Romans 15, 13. So let me pray. Father, I just want to thank you that you remind us, you gently call us to come back to you, to follow you, to lean into you during these times. Because these, Lord, are really, they're scary times. They're unstable times. We see, Lord, how things can just dissolve through our hands, just like sand, just like water through our hands. We can't hold on to it. And with just everything just seems upended right now. But Lord, we know you are not upended. That you are God, that you are our hope, you are our constant that we can lean into. Because you, Lord, offer life. You are life. And it's the real life that comes abundantly. So, Father, we thank you for that. And, Lord, I just want to pray what Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, which is this. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We just bless you and we pray you would have just a great week ahead of you. Remember, Jesus is your hope. Lean into him. Bless you guys.